Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
The Peace Cross has already been argued before the United States Supreme Court. We're going to talk about what I believe may happen in this decision and what the implications may be for this and other cases of religious symbols around the country. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, the director of communications for Liberty Counsel. Well, the 40-foot-tall, 93-year-old cross in Maryland, 5 miles from the United States Supreme Court, that was erected in 1925 as a memorial to men who died in World War I, is under attack. Mm. 2014 is when the lawsuit was filed. It made its way all the way to the United States Supreme Court. And I was there during the arguments because Liberty Counsel, we filed a brief with the High Court arguing that the memorial does not violate the First Amendment Establishment Clause, and also urging the court, Holly, to overrule bad precedent known as the Lemon Test. The brief that we filed argues the court should conclude that absent physical or financial coercion in this or other Establishment Clause cases, there is no violation of the Establishment Clause.
You know, I think about, wasn't it Anton Scalia that said that this Lemon Test is something that judges pull out of the closet when needed, kind of like the ghost in the closet that comes out once in a while?
Yeah, the ghoul, like during a late night horror movie.
Yeah.
You pull it out of the closet to frighten people. Want to, and you put them back in the closet when you don't want to use them.
Yeah, because the rulings using that are so inconsistent. You know, for example, the High Court in 2005 said that a Texas state capitol could display the Ten Commandments. But then you turn around and a Kentucky courthouse said they could not. In another case, the justices said that a city in Rhode Island could have a nativity scene on city property. But 5 years later, a Pennsylvania county could have a menorah and a Christmas tree, but not a nativity scene.
Yeah, for every decision that you have one way,
so inconsistent,
you will have a lower court on both sides of the issue.
Yeah.
And why is that? The reason is because of what is called the Lemon Test. The Lemon Test comes from a decision from the Supreme Court some years ago. And the name of the case is called Lemon versus Kurtzman. And they created this test.
So it wasn't just lemon because it's a sour thing.
No, it is a sour test, and it has soured on many justices.
Yes.
Most justices throughout the court's history have criticized it, asked the court to overrule it. However, none of them have actually voted collectively to do so. During the oral argument, Justice Gorsuch really keyed in on that issue. And he asked the individual advocates whether they wanted to overrule it. To understand, there were two cases. And so the people in favor of the Peace Cross, there was one attorney for Maryland, there was one attorney for the American Legion, and then there was the attorney for the American Humanists. So there's three different arguments within this little over 1 hour of argument. One of them wanted the Lemon Test to be overturned. The other one, advocating on behalf of Maryland itself, did not want the Lemon Test overturned, but did not want it used in this case.
Mm-hmm.
The American Humanist did not want the Lemon Test overturned, but also did not advocate its use in this case. And so Justice Gorsuch said, now, you don't want the Lemon Test used here. You believe it's unconstitutional to the American Humanist for other reasons. You don't want to rely on the Lemon Test, but you don't want us to overturn it. And to the person representing Maryland, he said, now you don't want the Lemon Test overturned. You don't want us to use it here. You think it should be upheld for other reasons. So what are we supposed to do? We haven't used the Lemon Test. Actually, they haven't used the Lemon Test since 2005. And in 2005, what happened was there were two Ten Commandment cases. I argued one out of Kentucky. There was another one out of Texas. They were argued at the same day. They were decided and handed down the same day. In our case, representing a Kentucky Ten Commandments display, they used the Lemon Test. In the other case, out of Texas, they didn't use any test. Ten Commandment cases delivered same day, two different opinions. One used the Lemon Test, one did not. Now, what is the Lemon Test? The Lemon Test says that in order for something to be constitutional under the Establishment Clause, that is, a religious symbol or word, say, "In God We Trust" on government money or property, nativity scenes on government property, crosses, religious symbols on government property, for it to be constitutional and not violate the Establishment Clause, the court says, it must have a secular purpose. So how does that work in a nativity scene situation? Well, it's very fact-intensive. Mm-hmm. A nativity scene standing by itself is unconstitutional under the Lemon Test because it has only a religious purpose. But you pop Santa Claus or the reindeer in next to it, and voila, it becomes constitutional. But it also depends on how close Santa Claus and the reindeer is. Maybe if Santa Claus and the reindeer are not within sight or very far away, maybe a court would say, well, no, it's primarily got a religious purpose, not a secular purpose.
Right. I know we every Christmas season, there's like these atheist groups lurking around the corner. We have to defend these nativity scenes on that very issue.
On that very issue. And so this Lemon Test actually requires something to be secular. So on this cross, the person arguing for Maryland said, well, it's secular. And Sotomayor said, but the cross is religious. And the person said, well, it's secular because it doesn't have any religious words. It just is memorial for the fallen soldiers. Kagan questioned, well, has the cross become a universal symbol? And maybe that's why it should be upheld. You know, it's these different kinds of parsing of words and looking at specific facts and using the test when they want to and not using it when they don't want to, and it causes confusion to the judges in the lower courts, and that's what Gorsuch said. Mm-hmm. He said, maybe it's time to say to the Lemon Test, thank you for your services, but see you later.
Yeah.
It made the courtroom laugh. But, you know, and I think that's exactly what should happen. The court, you know, the problem is that here's the First Amendment. The Establishment Clause. On its face, it's fairly easy to understand. Congress, you begin with that, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So at a minimum, it was designed to prohibit Congress, not the states. Congress from establishing a national religion and imposing it on the states. Fairly simple. Congress has no authority to do that. And that's the reason why Thomas Jefferson would not declare national days of prayer and fasting, didn't think that he had the authority to impose that on the states. Because Congress couldn't do it, he as the executive had no authority to do what Congress was prohibited from doing. After the First Amendment was adopted, a number of the states, including Virginia, continued to have their own state-established or preferred religions. That was dealt with under the state constitutions. The first deviation from the First Amendment came when the Supreme Court said, well, even though it says Congress, we're going to apply it now to the states. There were attempts, by the way, twice by Senator Blaine to amend the First Amendment to make the word states shall not establish a religion. That failed twice. So what the Supreme Court did is they just simply reinterpreted it and said it has to apply also against the states. So now how it's applied is Congress and the states and all the subdivisions cannot make an establishment of religion. That's how they apply it now. Then the question is, what is an establishment of religion? And obviously, originally, it was no established church to which you're required to support the pastor or the parsonage or pay a tithe or a tax. That would be fairly simple. But then they develop all these rules, and the rules have nothing to do with the First Amendment, and they get further and further and further away from the First Amendment. This case, I think, here's what's going to happen. I think that the Supreme Court will uphold this cross. I don't think they're going to require this cross to be moved or bulldozed, so that's good news. The real question is, will they overturn this bad precedent called the Lemon Test? I hope they do. That's what we have argued. Then, overturning it, the question is, what will they replace it with? What are the implications going forward? We argued for a coercion test, that absent physical coercion or financial coercion, there's no violation of the Establishment Clause. It would work very simply with nativity scenes, crosses, religious words, and symbols. I don't know which way they're going on that. So pray for this case because it will have huge implications, or it certainly has the potential to do so. Stay with us. Thank you for your prayers and support. Visit our website at lc.org.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org. You can also call us at 407-875-1776. Again, that phone number, 407-875-1776. The website again, lc.org.